Good morning, Park Church. I want to say thanks to Val for leading us in prayer and Wes and Sarah in worship and music. And right before we focus on our text of the day for a sermon, I'd like to just take a couple moments and take the privilege to do this. I want to shout out, give a tribute of honor to women today, and there are a couple different groups. I'd like to start actually with my wife, dedicated, devoted. She's in Colorado today, and I just want to say, Jan, I love you. Thanks for putting up with me. She listens to these online, you know. So I'll just say thanks for putting up with me for almost 35 years now, and loving me for that, and for being mother to our two daughters. And I want to also do the same kind of a tribute verbally of honor for my mom. Lives in Central Oregon. She's had a lot to do with a godly heritage of faith and family and fun for us. And there are seven groups of women. Most of you are going to be represented here today as I mention these. If you're not included, don't get upset with me, right? Because this may not be fully inclusive. But I was thinking about this week. There's maybe at least seven sorts of women today as we gather. Some of you are here today. You're a mom and you're loving it. Well, happy Mother's Day to you, you know? Now, some of you are here today, you're a mom and you're tired and you're stressed and you may be feeling a little bit ill. May you be encouraged and refreshed today. And some of you are here as moms and you miss a child. Maybe they're away at school. Maybe they're away serving in the military or in ministry, in missions. So grace to you on a Mother's Day today. Some of you are moms who desperately miss a child because you've had a child that has died, or you're estranged from a child, and you, as Jesus did, have deep sorrow and are very acquainted with grief, and our hearts break with your hearts today. Some of you here, ladies, you long to be a mom. Maybe you desire to be married, or maybe you're struggling with infertility. I want to recognize your beauty and trust with you for God's best. Ladies who have much stress with your mom, some of you have that. Frankly, you're not sure what it looks like to honor your mother. May you have God's wisdom from above. And there are ladies here today who terribly miss their mom, maybe by death or that you're estranged. So we bless you today with God's grace and peace. So may it be so at Mother's Day. Let's pray. Father, we do come as we have sung because you are full of goodness, rich in mercy. You have pursued us relentlessly, loved us profoundly, and through what you've done in Christ, we are redeemed people. We have just sung about that, and we pause today to again say thank you. We are grateful for the women in our midst. May we honor them well today. And now as we turn to your word, we look to it again to not only inform us, but to guide us, to lead us in living in an honorable way. We pray for Jesus' sake. Amen. Okay, so we're in a series in the Bible. I love seeing like ladies gather today and those as families. And we're in a series, if you're kind of new here, we're traveling through what it means to love one another. And it's a bit of a collage. We're taking one thing at a time. The Bible speaks much of this. We know that others will like know we're in Jesus and love Jesus because what? We love one another, the Bible tells us. Well, like, but then the next question is, well, how do we do that? What does that look like? So first couple times we considered, well, to really love, we are people of encouragement. We encourage one another. And last week, we considered this great opportunity we have to pray for one another. And today, The subject comes out of Romans chapter 12, and it's one verse. It's actually only three words in the original language that the New Testament was written in. Let me read this section to you. It's Romans 12, verses, I'll back up to verse 9 and read verse 10 that is our focus. It goes this way. Let love be genuine. You go, that sounds right. Hate what's evil. Hold fast to what's good. And here we go, verse 10. Love one another with mutual affection. That's a great term, by the way. That's like this. There's a warmth. There is a feeling. This is like your old favorite gym suit or slippers or sweat, whatever it is. It's like that comfortable. This mutual affection. Love one another that way. And then the next phrase, outdo one another in showing honor. Part of loving one another well. No matter what the age of people, I've talked with children who basically say, you know, I like it around here when we're honorable and we honor one another. And you think that too, most of you. In fact, you're not wanting to be all the more part of a culture of dishonor. But what about a culture of honor in our homes, in our church, in our where we live life, in our relationships? The idea of this verse, here it is. I'll say it more than once today, but maybe this would be a take-home. I have one key take-home for you and one key challenge for you. The take-home is the honorable compete to give honor to one another, not so much to get honor. That's wrapped up in this little phrase, outdo one another in showing honor. So today we'll simply talk about what it is and how we might do that well. The same week I was studying in Romans 12, I came across some articles that disturbed me. And so I thought, I don't want to be the only disturbed person around here, so I think I'm going to say this to you all. You know what was disturbing to me? And so guys, pay attention for a minute, because this is actually disturbing, especially for a lot of us men. Here's the deal. The idea is when adults get a chronic illness or a serious disease, I was reading some articles, guess what? Men tend to abandon women much more than women abandon men. You might go, well, how do we know that? Well, one of you, if you just think through, you've seen this happen. In 2009, in a medical journal called Cancer, this kicked it off in the media. In that journal, a bunch of stuff was done, but they reported bottom line, listen to this, married women who had serious illness were 6 times more likely to become separated or divorced, as were married men with similar health problems. Whoa. The New York Times picked up on that, and they had an article in the New York Times in November of 2009. This is what I tracked down. The title of that article was, "The Divorce Rate is Higher When the Wife Gets Sick." Well, there was another study, different, but kind of replicated the same findings, 2014, 3 years ago, University of Michigan. Their bottom line was, here's how they put it, the risk for divorce is higher when a wife gets sick. Now, if you're interested in that kind of stuff, I can put you onto those articles. Here, when I read that, here's what I was thinking. I was looking at Romans 12, outdo one another in showing honor. I said, now there's something that's not honoring about that. We know honor when we see it, don't we? Now, if you're curious, researchers have said, why is this typical in our homes in the United States? Well, I don't know. Some of them say maybe men aren't as good at adapting or caretaking, or we don't know for sure, but this is a disturbing thing to me. So let's be mindful of something. We are all bent, when we're honest, we are bent towards seeking honor, being honored, wanting to get honor. And God's word speaks to us and says, in Christ, part of what it looks like to love one another is that we what? We outdo one another in showing honor, giving honor. What an idea. So, Hopefully you're intrigued with this like I have been. Let's unpack a little bit. That outdo one another in showing honor, that's three words. It's a very interesting little study. Here's the summary of it. The first word that we have translated honor here, you know what that word means? It means to consider and to treat as valuable. Honor is something that we do. The second word is simply means one another. We put it into two English words, and it means the one another. How we are better together in a church. This is one of the one another's. The third word is only used here in the New Testament. Kind of interesting, huh? And that word means, that's why there are different translations of this in your English Bibles. The word means to prefer. It means like to lead. It means to initiate. It means to anticipate. It means to outdo one another. In other Greek literature, the same word was used as to go before as a guide. Kind of interesting. So as we do this, listen to different translations, because Bible students have wrestled with how do we capture this in English. The New American Standard Bible and the Amplified Bible, they translate it as they say, give preference to one another in honor. The New Living Translation and the Living Bible put it this way, take delight in honoring each other. The NIV says, honor one another above yourselves. The New American Bible Revised says, anticipate one another in showing honor. The Common English Bible puts it this way, be the best at showing honor to each other. I kind of like that. There's a little competitive part of me, you know. So if you want to know what we do well at being competitive about, in our families and in our church community, outdo one another. You know, it's sort of like actually more compete with yourself, but it's maybe okay to compete with one another. In what way? In showing honor to people around us. That's what the Bible says. One other, like we've read here and some other translations, they simply say, outdo one another in showing honor. That captures well the nuance of those three words. So here we go. Remember, the honorable actually compete. In what way? To give honor, and not so much to get it. Kind of a countercultural idea, right? Yeah. So if you're thinking through this, so here's what we're going to do the rest of our time today, before we close in singing and around communion. I want to just pitch to you, as I've looked at this biblically, what is the who? What is the what, and the how and the why of honoring one another. The who, what, how, and why of honor. That's what I'd like to do together. Maybe we'd not only be more conversant and understanding, but maybe it'll actually change us as in how we live. May it be so. So, you know, think through this. In the Bible, there are three particular groups, if you kind of skim this theme, that we're especially encouraged to honor. One is, and if you've been around for a bit or in some type of a church or are familiar with what's often called the Ten Commandments, your mind goes there. There's actually one of the commandments. It's the first commandment in the Bible with a promise, and it goes this way, honor your father and mother. And Exodus 20, verse 12, and it's repeated in the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2. That's one, honor father and mother. Huh, okay. The second group is to honor those in authority. For instance, in Romans chapter 13, verse 7, we're to honor those in civil authority. And 1 Timothy 5, verse 17, to honor those in spiritual authority in our lives. That's another group. The final one is one another. And if you might say, who's that? Probably in Romans, the context is our church, our community, with one another, like in the room, in your small group. Your community group, yeah. Well, the Apostle Peter, though, just to be clear, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, he says, like, honor everyone. So this is something that we were invited to do with one another at large. But there are these three particular groupings that the Bible calls are focused on. So here's the thing. Here's your application. As we think about this today, what is your next best step by God's grace? How will you honor your father and or mother, especially if they're still living? How is it that you will honor at least one person and then keep building on that who is an authority in your life? How is it that you, will God lead you to become all the more like outdoing one another and honoring one another here? Will you think about that and engage by God's grace? Now, there's one of our community members that we thought about, and he was gracious enough to let us share his story. Watch and listen with me, please.
I will say this, that since my mom has been living with us, this whole experience in the past year and a half, as I've been honoring my mom, has really brought me closer to mom, and I think it's brought her closer to me. From my perspective, honoring is both a noun and a verb. And I think that the act of honor, giving a gift in presenting honor to a person, is kind of static. It's just it's a one-shot deal. And I think on Mother's Day, we tend to do that. Bring mom to dinner, you know, give mom a box of candy or roses or something like that. And that's good. But then honoring is also, in the sense of a verb, a process, a continuing process going forward. My mom is just about to turn 90, and up until a year and a half ago, mom has always been living on her own, independent. My earliest thoughts of my mother were of love that she had for us. I was one of four children, an older sister, myself, my brother, and then our baby sister. And what I remember of our childhood was that my mom was very involved as a stay-at-home mom, caring for us, caring for the children. My dad was a very hard-working man, and I can recall at one point when we were talking about what their memories of their time with us was, it was all about the children, and it was all about the family. I lost my dad when he was 56, and one of the things that I committed to him in his final days was that I would always care for my mom. Without making any specific commitments, it was just, I will care for mom. Don't worry. But at that time, I had a baby sister who was very close to my mom, and I had an older sister. And my thinking was, girls always take care of moms. Well, that didn't quite happen. My baby sister passed away 6 years ago when she was 53. And then my older sister, just about the time that we had to make decisions about mom's care, my older sister passed away, leaving mom to me and my brother. We decided that for security reasons and mom's safety, that she would move in with us. And I will say that that was one of the best decisions that I've made for not only me, but for my mom. I've come to realize that God presents difficulties and challenges to us in life, not to destroy our spirit, but to create opportunities for us to grow in our relationship with others, in this case with my mom, and in the process, getting closer to the Lord.
So thanks to Rich for sharing that little glimpse into his life and into his heart. We will all have different kinds of decisions to make, some of them large, like what to do about the care of an aging parent. The idea of honoring one another in the Bible, though, also is like a very daily thing, like Rich talked about there, these times that you will today. You have and you will today. How is it that you honor others around here the dailiness of it. Like, say, picture our children. You know, I've actually had children in one way or another say to me that they've felt what? Honored by different little things that we do. Join in, look at them on an eye level, ask them a good question, listen. Same thing with students. Different ways that we honor one another. Now the Bible, you might be sitting there thinking, well, that sounds nice. That would be ideal. But you don't know so-and-so in my life. You know, this person I report to, or this person I'm married to, or my whatever, maybe mother or father, I don't know. Sometimes there are people that it would be a challenge. And we might say, I don't want to pretend to honor them. They're not honorable or respectable. Now, I understand that. What's interesting in the Bible is when it says honor father and mother, there are no age like it isn't. We do that until we're age 12. You know, when kids honor parents, it has a lot to do with learning to listen and learning to respond and learning to obey and all that. You know, but what does it mean as we're older? You know, Rich has talked some about that. But sometimes people are hard to like. Do we honor them? The Bible says yes. So we'll talk a little bit today. Now, here we go. What is it? How do we do it? And then why? Okay? So what is this thing that is called honor in the Bible? If you look at that term and then work at applying it, there are at least three aspects to this, and I want to just bring it to you. Honor, when we honor another person, we communicate to them value and dignity. There's a theology behind this, by the way. You might say, well, are people actually valuable? That's a very good question. God's word says yes. Two key reasons. One is that every person is created in God's image, and for all people, Christ died. And if for no other reason, those are two good enough ones, but all people have value. And do you relate with people like that? Even those that are difficult to relate to or to love well. Secondly, consider this. Respect is fundamentally earned. Honor really is fundamentally given. It is a gift that you and I choose to give or not. Third, honor says things like, I know about you, and I love you, and I value you. However we do that, that's honor. Shame says things like, I know about you, and I'm going to ignore you because you don't benefit or help me. Dishonor says things like, I know about you, and I'm even willing to bully you or advantage you to try to benefit me. Right? Yeah. Honor is something we do. Honor is given. Honor communicates value and dignity. That's the who, three groups, and the what of what honor is. Good enough? Let's keep going. You might say, well, how do we do that? How do we really do that? When we do that, we know it when we see it. But how is it that you and I do that? I want to suggest there's a VIP way of doing honor. Sometimes you're part of a club or a store or whatever, and they give you a little VIP card, and you say, why is it I don't feel so VIP? You know, but you know, biblically, there actually are ways that we create the sense of communicating value and dignity to others. And so here's what it is. Here's my very best way to language how we do honor. One is communicate value. What does it mean for a particular person, different ages, different situations? What does it mean? How do I uniquely, personally communicate value and dignity to them? That's one part. The second is, how do I honestly, prayerfully act in their best interest? Third, how do I treat others with dignity and priority? Now, we can do that with anybody, but I'm hoping you're thinking of at least one person in those three areas of your life. What are they? Mother and father, those in authority, one another, all of us. Are you thinking about that today? If you express honor to a leader, you don't need to say, I like you. That may not be all that true at the time. But you can say, thank you, and not only for what they do, but for who they are, anything that's genuine. You can do that. That's honoring. I recently watched what I just know. I was thinking about this, and I on an airplane, right? As you can tell, I'm on airplanes a little bit too much these days. But I watched, I think, what appeared to be a captain of an airline who was boarded. He was being transported. He wasn't in the cockpit. So from where I sat, he came in, took a seat. A little bit later, another young man came in, and he was dressed and appeared to be like an Air Force cadet. And so this caught my attention. Here's a senior guy, an up-and-comer guy, and here's what I watched, and it was honorable. That captain, when the flight attendant came through, I overheard a little bit, actually, of what he said, and he said, you know, with the gentleman in uniform over here, please tell him to order whatever he would like to eat or drink because it's paid for, and thank him for serving. A little gift of honor. You know, there's just one example. There are many ways that we do this, are there not? That we communicate value, that we act in others' best interests, that we treat others with dignity and priority. Now, if you're thinking about this, there's one more part, why, and then I'm going to tell you a story. Why would we, why? You say, well, that sounds like kind of work. I'd rather just be honored, you know, or seek honor. Or, yeah, we often do. Why would we want to outdo one another in showing honor? Well, there are at least four reasons, thinking biblically and practically. Number one, pay attention to this, please. When we honor one another, we live into who we are in Christ. If you're waiting for someone to become respectable in a good enough way for you, or honorable in a good enough way for you, or lovable in a good enough way for you, and you say, well, then, you know, I'll think about trying to honor him. Thank God that he didn't do that with us. I mean, Christ came while we were yet sinners. We were shaking our fists in God's face. We were his enemies. We were not lovable or likable or honorable, and he initiated and honored us fully in and through Christ. Thanks be to God. When we do this with people, we are living more fully into what it means to be like Christ. Secondly, we build up the faith and the hope of other people. There can be these even small acts of honoring one another, and it's a wind in people's sails. Some of you have experienced that. Thirdly, we actually build community by doing this. Do you know that shame and dishonor disrupts and destroys community life? Honor builds it. We honor one another. Finally, we demonstrate the very beauty of God and the gospel as we honor one another. You might say, what's that mean? So here's a little interlude and a story. Are you aware, if you've been around for a while and had the opportunity to study the Bible or learn about it in different ways, the Bible teaches that God himself, that there is one God in three persons. Theologians call that the Trinity. So if you're thinking in a Trinitarian way about honor, check this out. There's the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, three persons. Good? Now you might say, why bring that up now? Here's the thing. Everywhere in the Bible, the Father honors the Son and the Spirit. Everywhere in the Bible, the Son honors the Father and the Spirit. Everywhere in the Bible, the Holy Spirit honors the Father and honors and shines light on Christ the Son. This, people, honor is part and parcel of who God is and what also how he's come to us. And when we get to do this, it's like sharing in that dance. It's what God himself is like. So as we honor one another, we by God's grace enter into such godly beauty. We demonstrate the very beauty of God and the gospel itself. My mind went to a great story that I want to close with today. He would be maybe my hero of honoring as a guy. His name is J. Robertson McQuilkin. And he met Muriel, who was to become his wife. They met as classmates in school. History tells us that he proposed to her on Valentine's Day. They got married. They ended up raising 6 children. In the first 12 years of their family life together, they planted 5 churches as missionaries in the great land of Japan. Dr. McQuilkin, over his life, authored 19 books. He finished his career as the Columbia Bible College and Seminary president. He served in that capacity for 22 years. Muriel, his wife, taught at Columbia Bible College, spoke at women's conferences, and did TV and radio programs. And she often, by the way, talked about her great joy in being a wife and a mother. After more than 3 decades of marriage, they received the news that Muriel had Alzheimer's disease. And following that diagnosis, Robertson tried to go to his office on campus to fulfill his responsibilities. But before long, as he was leaving home or shortly after he left, Muriel would get agitated and anxious and depressed, and she'd follow him, often walking a half a mile to campus, seeking him out. The story's told that one evening, Robertson was helping Muriel ready for bed and noticed that she had bloody feet because she'd walked so far to try to be with him that day. Robertson, by the way, reflected on that, tells you about his heart and character. He reflected on his wife's devotion to him and said, "I wish I loved God like that, that I was so desperate to be near him at all times." Well, when her speech began to fail, one of Muriel's last phrases to him was, "I love you." But Robertson ended up making the news. And it wasn't because he wrote another book or started another school, but because he did something that literature tells us very few men do. While knowing he was at the peak of his career, that the school had by God's grace prospered under his leadership, he chose to step down as president to devote full time to being his wife's caretaker. One writer put it this way: Robertson chose to follow the path of Jesus, who gave up his life for his bride, the church. In his letter to the school explaining his resignation, Dr. McQuilkin noted, "I love Muriel. She's a delight to me. I don't have to care for her. I get to." And he said this: "It's a high honor to care for such a lovely person." So I shine the light today on Dr. McQuilkin. He would not want that. But he's regarded by so many in the leadership community and in the faith community as a fine example of how to love and honor one another. And because he himself, I was reminded, graduated to heaven almost 1 year ago. It was June 2nd of last year that he himself then joined his wife and his Lord in heaven. True story. We know honor when we see it, don't we? You will have big decisions at times to make, like Robertson did, you will have daily decisions every day to make, outdo one another in showing honor. Will that not be fun and glorious, actually, as we do that more and more around here in each other's lives? So, especially with you moms today, may this be a day of honoring to you. So as our musicians and worship leaders come back up and we prepare ourselves to worship in song and in sharing around the communion meal, I think if Dr. McQuilkin was with us today, he might say, remember this, God has communicated that you are valuable. He's done that in his written word, through the living word Jesus. God communicates to you and loves you and says you are valuable. Let's pray together. So Father in heaven, we today thank you that you have honored us. You have redeemed us. You have provided for us richly in Christ. So first of all, we say, we honor you. Lord, thank you. And now we come to examine ourselves before you, to confess our shortcomings, our sins, our mistakes to you. We thank you for paying our debt that we could never pay, for doing that in Christ. As we honor you, may it be true that we honor one another more and more, even today, for Jesus' sake. Amen.